This is a replay of the Thursday night, August 14th, WGN show. We started right at 10 o'clock. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours we have to spend together. I hope you'll join me. 888-876-5593. That's 888-ROLLYE. And as you know, we decidedly stay away from politics and we'll continue to do that. However, I just had to share this. I know it's a political story that we're not going to investigate. And that is, of course, as you're hearing on the news regularly, the president has ordered the National Guard into the District of Columbia. All right, never mind all that. Just let's look at a guy who works for the Department of Justice. Now, by the way, if you work for the Department of Justice, you figure that you have a pretty good handle on what not to do. Also, as his lawyer chirped up, oh yeah, there's a lawyer involved. He has a wonderful record, including years in the military. And as the prosecutor said, well, he's been in the military that long. He certainly know not to attack an officer. So what happened? All right. The guy is Sean Charles Dunn. And he worked, I should say, because he's been fired after this. But he worked in the Department of Justice, and his particular job was an international affairs specialist in the criminal division of the Office of International Affairs. So here he is, and he apparently confronts a group of U.S. and Customs Border Protection officers on the street. 14th Street, to be exact, Northwest, Sunday night. And he's calling them fascists and God only knows what else. Then he walks across the street. All right. First, before he does, he approaches an officer and shouts at him. A lot of expletives I can't share with you, but basically the gist of it is, why are you here? I don't want you in my city. Okay, so then he crosses the street and he returns with a quote-unquote sub-style sandwich. Some say came directly from Subway. I don't know. But nonetheless, it's a submarine sandwich. You've certainly seen them. He returns with the sub sandwich and throws it directly at an officer's chest. Now, right there, what a waste of a good sub sandwich, but never mind. So, bottom line is that obviously he is... He's arrested. Actually, at this point, he's not arrested. He's just detained. And I think it was 20 officers. All right. Oh, man. All right. And might have been even more at the time, but apparently 20 officers were also sent to arrest him the next day at home, because that's when charges were filed. Charges being felony assault charges. And yeah. And so, you know, he's basically making light of it, admitting in court, saying, yes, I threw a sandwich. All right. You cannot. Yeah, I did it. I threw a sandwich right in the court document. You cannot do this. And so, needless to say, he's facing some pretty hefty charges for that. But you know, again, not to talk at all about the political backdrop of that. But here's a guy who theoretically is you know, I won't say together, but certainly able to hold a government job. Wait, that might not be good criteria either. But nonetheless, working for the Department of Justice, who finds it appropriate to throw a submarine sandwich at someone. Yeah, that's right. We've lost our collective minds. But it did make me laugh. Hopefully it did you too. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Now, before we leave the district, and we're going to get to Carolyn and Roselle, I got an email from a fan in Chicago, a self-professed fan, who sent me a picture of... yeah, John Lennon in a WPGC T-shirt. Yeah, I actually have the same T-shirt. And and he says, bet you could talk about this station. Oh, I could, and I won't for any great length of time, but the picture with Lennon was probably taken between, you know, 64, 66, so Harv Moore would have been the PD at that time. And then, of course, he came back. He was PD there twice. And an interesting station, an interesting history. But the most poignant part is that it was the big top 40 station in Washington, D.C. in the 60s, and it was a daytimer. Yeah, at 1580. First it had 250 watts, then it got 10,000 watts, but still it was a rundown at sundown. And sure, WEAM had WEAM had some presence, but what this really meant was that at night, since PGC wasn't on the air, and of course PGC FM was, but this is before anybody had an FM tuner who wanted to hear Top 40 radio for the most part, what that meant is that Kirby Scott and Baltimore did very well in the district at night. Yeah, because you could hear them. All right, so anyway, and through this I then lose Carolyn. Oh man, all right, Carolyn, guess you didn't want to hear about WPGC. Call me back, I want to hear all about it. She was going to mention Donna, who called last night. I'm really excited about Donna, especially since she's going to be on Family Feud. And yeah, she and her family, she's gotten, I think, to the final stages here of that now. And I've mentioned before, I listen to all these YouTube videos at night to try to fall asleep. And there is just a plethora of videos of various segments from Family Feud. And Steve Harvey is the quintessential host for this. He's just perfect, I think. But what's interesting is that they, if you haven't seen the show, and I'm sure you have, but they have competing families who are answering questions that were, there were surveys, survey says. But I probably saw 30 videos in a row of this, and in all cases, the question started out, we asked 100 married men, what? Yeah, where do they get these people? I don't know. But anyway, Donna's going to be on that. But more to the point, I think that Carolyn was going to talk about what was going on with Donna and the dreaded landlord. But Donna's going to get out of Dodge, a landlord who doesn't want to address mold problems. And sadly, you'd think that this was an absolute no-brainer, that everybody would be compelled to do this. Well, think again. Yeah, absolutely, because there's no laws on the books for that. So she'll be better off living somewhere else, and we'll find out about that as time goes on. All right, next story that I came across from the What Were You Thinking? Well, in this case, it's not a government employee. It's actually a kid, a teenager with a pilot's license and a Cessna 182. what could possibly be worse? All right, well, he's a teen from Santiago, Chile, and he decided that he was going to fly pretty much around the world, well, to all seven continents anyway, if not around the world, to collect donations for research into cancer. And so he's a cute kid, Asian, identifies himself as Asian American, in this case Asian Chilean. And so seven continents included the Antarctic. What could possibly go wrong? This is June, by the way. June might be summer here. It's the middle of winter in Antarctica. It is cold in Antarctica. So cold that, well, you're probably not going to get out of there until the season is over. And to do this, of course, if he supplied accurate flight data, they'd have said no. So he didn't. He was authorized to fly over Punta Arenas, but he just kept going south, heading for Antarctica in his single-engine 182. Yes, known for its versatility, but certainly not known for flying to Antarctica in what is the dead of winter for them. He landed somehow. He was charged with all sorts of things, but the judge ultimately dropped most of the charges as part of an agreement with his lawyers and the prosecutors in Chile. Requires him to give a $30,000 donation to a children's cancer foundation within 30 days, and he's happy to do that. He must also leave the country. He can't do that. And as soon as conditions allow, probably next month. And he's prohibited from re-entering Chilean territory in the Antarctic for 3 years. The problem here is that when you're talking about winter in Antarctica, there ain't no coming and going. And so he manages to land, and he's been since staying at a military base, for over 6 weeks. And he was not forced to stay there, but as I say, he can't get out of there. And the only rules were he had to remain in Chilean territory. I'll talk about Chilean territory in Antarctica here in a moment, but the deal is there were no flights out of there. And so, obviously, his Cessna is not worthy for these kind of temperatures in this trip. And so, the Chilean prosecutor said, well, his plane does not have the capabilities to make a flight. Yeah, and I love the media that said, without providing details, you don't need to provide details. It's too damn cold. Be done with it. And so it is that he is in Antarctica waiting for approval for his departure flight. And he hopes to fly the 182 home, so he'll be there for a little while longer. He also has to pay all the costs for his aircraft security, his personal maintenance during his stay, and he needs to cover all the expenses for his return. And so it is I looked at this, and apparently, I say Chilean, Asian Chilean, but I believe he's a U.S. citizen somehow. I'm not sure about that. But what I did find interesting was I thought Chilean territory, man, which is controversial too. You know, I don't know how much you know about Antarctica. I don't recommend it as a destination at any time. Certainly not in winter. But the deal is that seven nations have laid claim to parts of Antarctica. And Argentina, Australia, Chile, France, New Zealand, Norway, and the UK. And they've together made eight claims, actually. But what's interesting is that in some cases the claims overlap. Now, by the way, countries without claims, such as the good old U.S. of A., have constructed research facilities within the areas claimed by other countries. But there are overlapping claims between Argentina, Chile, and the United Kingdom. How this kid picked, if he's not Chilean, how this kid picked it, I don't know. But the bottom line is that he'll be there for a little while yet. Yeah, and I don't know if he'll ever be able to get that 182 out of there. If he can wait long enough, he can, but will they let him do it? All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio.
mother, here she come now.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and this one's supposed to sound like that's the original Devil with the Blue Dress, Shorty Long, 1964 on Soul, a Motown subsidiary, and he and Mickey Stevenson wrote that, and what a fine record, absolutely, Mitch Ryder just destroyed it, but originally it was just a great song. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh, and let's see what Brian and Joliet is up to, what's happening tonight, Brian?
Hi, Raleigh. Hope you're doing well. And I have a request, first of all.
And it is?
From BJ, Gladys Knight, the Pips, A Letter Full of Tears.
Okay. All right.
And I was going to ask you, do they have any other hits on BJ?
Well, yeah, what do you call hits? All right.
Well,
and is that one? All right, we could go on and on about that. But they had other releases, sure. You know, I'll debate whether they're hits. I'd probably have to look up for chart action. But so trying to think of what else would be. I should know this because I've been filing records all week. But let's see, on VJ. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. But
given up on that? Was given up on VJ?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Trying to, yeah, the good old Pips, and originally the Pips, and of course Every Beat of My Heart and all that. But no, trying to.
I like that one.
Oh, I do too. I do too. Yeah, they were on Fury. And Every Beat of My Heart was absolutely VJ and Given Up, but Given Up was not on VJ. Given Up was on Max, and that's sort of a weird little thing too. A guy named Larry Maxwell, it was his label, but there were a few things on Max. But I'm pretty sure that other than Every Beat of My Heart, because Every Beat of My Heart originally was on Fury, you know, Robinson's label. And then VJ had it in 63. So that was a reissue. That wasn't an original. Hang on. Don't go away. Stay where you are. We'll talk more about it after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Beat of my heart, there's a beat for you. Every beat of my heart.
WGN. radio. I'm Raleigh James. So there you have it. That's the original Every Beat of My Heart, 1952, on Federal, the Royals. Yeah, who would, of course, go on to change their name and and become, why can't I think of this now? I will. The guy who wrote the twist, Hank Ballard. Hank Ballard and Midnighters started out as the Royals. But anyway, so in 1952, they released this. Now, then, of course, Gladys Knight. And the reason I played that, we're going to get to Letter Full of Tears, but it's sort of like, why was that on VJ? And this is an interesting story, and I pretty much think it's an outgrowth of this. Because what happened, you see what happened was, don't all good stories start that way? Gladys Knight was from Atlanta originally, and she managed to get Every Beat of My Heart, you know, a remake of the Royals there, recorded. It was on Huntom. It's a weird little label. If you have it in your collection, it's a capital H and a capital T, Huntom. And they're on Kennedy Street in Atlanta. But in any event, they put it out, but they had absolutely nothing that resembled distribution. So they decided that in their infinite wisdom that they would lease the record, which is probably the best thing to do. They leased it to VJ. And of course, the success of it caused the follow-up. But see, this is not the end of the story by any means. While Huntom is working out a deal with VJ, Gladys Knight and the Pips, by the way, if you look at the VJ record, it just says the Pips. But anyway, Gladys Knight and the Pips are looking for bigger grounds, because after all, Huntom couldn't get anywhere and they didn't know about VJ yet. So they make a deal with Bobby Robinson to be on the Fury label. And what Bobby Robinson does is he redoes a remake of Every Beat of My Heart. And so you had Every Beat of My Heart on VJ in 1963, which was a hit. And you had Every Beat of My Heart on Fury in 1962, which wasn't a hit. And you had Every Beat of My Heart on Huntom, which was the same as the VJ release that nobody ever heard of. So that was the story. All right, Brian, there you go. That's a little history anyway.
Well, thank you for playing that. That was very nice. I like that a lot. I never heard that before. Letter Full of Tears on VJ, they redid that on Motown, and the Motown
right.
is not as good as the VJ.
Agreed. So yes, I'll later play a little of the Fury version and the VJ version, and I'll also play Letter Full of Tears, the VJ version. So sure, happy to.
Well, thank you very much, Raleigh.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, appreciate it.
Okay, have a good weekend. Right,
you too. So yeah, good stuff. But yeah, it was basically who's on first on that one when that was going on. A lot of stuff happening. But yes, in the early days of 45 RPMs, if you will. All right. So Lisa is in Dundee. What's happening tonight, Lisa?
Hey, Raleigh.
Yeah.
I wondered if you'd heard this story. I heard it today. A West Virginia woman who had her husband died, and she had his tattoo cut off of his
oh no
body.
Yeah,
and framed it.
Uh huh.
And I guess this is a practice. Because it sounds like the company that did it, you know, the funeral home did the actual cutting of the,
yeah.
of the tattoo.
Yeah.
And then sent it off to somebody, and then they framed it and, you know, sent it to her. It said the whole process took about 90 days. But it's, you know, there's texture and wrinkles and stray hairs and all sorts of things.
I would assume there's taxidermy involved in this somewhere, but
it looks like it's just a piece of skin.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, obviously they had to do something to preserve it, or it wouldn't look
I
like
suppose.
Anything in short order. And from what I understand, in this case, we got to talk about the tattoo. It was a Pittsburgh Steelers helmet. So,
yes.
You know, right there.
But he had lots of tattoos.
Well, yeah, but that's the one that that's the one that they chose. And so what she had to do was after the funeral, before the casket went into the ground, she used a magic marker to outline the exact tattoo that she wanted to preserve. So then the mortician removed the skin and put it in a preservation kit. And apparently there is a company that, in fact, specializes in this, Save My Ink Forever.
Right.
And that's the 90 days. And so return the frame tattoo encased in glass, set in a dark wooden frame. Aha. Uh-huh.
There's a picture of it online.
Yeah,
not
there
that
sure
you
is. Yeah,
really,
and,
you know.
Well, I think he could
it
have
just seems
picked
kind of creepy.
Well, I think he could have picked a better artist, actually. But
it's not a very great tattoo, is
no,
it?
No, it really isn't. But
no, who knows? Maybe some of that, you know, went away from the preservation or something.
No, no, it's just bad art.
No.
But anyway,
it's just better.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, it is. It apparently is enough that there is the Ohio company that's making money, if not a living, preserving this. But yeah, I would think that, you know, any good taxidermist could do the same thing. But what do I know?
Yeah, I don't know. I just found the whole thing kind of creepy.
Yeah. And you see, now he had tattoos all over his body. I wonder what the other ones were and why this one.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't really say.
Yeah.
They just said they were, you know, her and the, I guess there was a, they had a son, and they were just really happy with it. And
I
think you could just take a picture of it, too, couldn't you, and know that that was your dad's favorite team or something? And
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think they cremated him after that. So that was
I
part
think
of
I
it.
Read that, too.
Right, because one of her quotes was something like, it gives them more comfort than they could get from an urn.
Okay.
So
well,
right.
I think I have a tendency to think urns are kind of creepy, too. So
yeah. Yeah, no, I the only urn story I have, I remember when I was young, it was a story of one of my mother's close friends was a New York society person, actually, who was, of all things, going to go to, I think it was a Yankees game or whatever. But anyway, the mail comes or the delivery comes before they go to the game, and it's a relative's urn, and they didn't know what to do, so they took it to the game.
Oh my gosh!
I know. I thought, oh yeah, this is real high class. Yeah, tell anybody else in the Blue Book about this. So I don't know, but yeah, I won't share any names, but I remember the story so well. I couldn't look at the guy after that ever without thinking about him taking the urn to the game. But yeah, so I guess so. I don't know.
People do a lot of crazy things.
Well, and this was a sudden death. She's fairly young. I guess she was about 20 years younger or so than him, because she was in her mid-30s and he was like 55 years old. But that's young.
You're talking about the lady with the tattoo?
Yes.
Yeah. I did read that it was a very sudden death.
Right. So he was only mid-50s, and I guess a tremendously sudden death. And like I say, she was considerably younger. There you have it.
I mean, whatever floats your boat, I suppose.
Well, she didn't want a traditional keepsake. Well, she didn't, she didn't get one. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, I just wanted to share that.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay, hon. Take care.
Now, I'm not one to comment on the particulars, but the article said that Angelica, 35, and her husband, TJ, 55, had been lifelong friends before marrying in 2021 and raising their 10-year-old son. Is this in base 10? Is something wrong with the... Right, it does make you wonder. All right, so we'll get to Marlo and Jackson and to Laura and Willowbrook. All right, and Ruth and Gurney coming up on WGN Radio.
Here comes the mailman walking up the street. It looks like he has a letter today for me. Wait a minute, let me look inside. No, it couldn't be from my guy, because he brought me.
Yes, he did.
I said he brought me.
Yes,
a letter full of tears.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have a couple hours to spend together. We're going to get to Marlo and to Ruth. Then we're going to talk to Led in In Ogden, Illinois. We're going to talk about early WLS Top 40 history. We'll do that, Sam Holman, and more coming up. But that's Letter Full of Tears. And that, of course, is Brian's request. And that's on Fury, as far as that goes. But I wanted, before I do anything else, because I always say I'll do things and then I don't. The reason, by the way, that VJ, which had Every Beat of My Heart on out after the version on Fury, but the VJ version was the first version on Huntom. If I haven't confused you yet, give me a chance. But when it was released on VJ, at that point, Gladys Knight had briefly left the group. And so there it was, the Pips Only. But so, okay, I guess we have to hear some of the VJ. And actually, I prefer the Fury, but it sounds pretty darn close. But as far as the VJ version...
Mary. My heart, there's a beat for you. In every toast of wine, there's a toast for you.
So that was Huntom and then later VJ, but in between was Fury. And like I say, you have to listen closely, but it is different.
In every beat of my heart, there's a beat for you.
Gets the most airplay as an oldie, but I thought it absolutely was a better song. As far as Letter Full of Tears, I easily found the version on Fury, but I couldn't find anything on VJ, and I'll have to look further to see if they even followed it up with that, but I know that it was off the strength of Every Beat of My Heart that they did Letter Full of Tears. All right, so end of story. Marlo in Jackson, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing, Miss Lady?
All right. How about yourself? And how's Mona Lisa?
Oh, she's doing good. She told me to tell you hello. Yeah. I just want to call you and let you know I'm still around.
Well, good. What you been doing?
Nothing. Well, I've been getting a lot of phone calls, but you'd be surprised who's been calling from a lot of people. I'm still trying to get me a good record, get my name on a record label. I'm still old school, Roger.
Well, I'm with you, but, you know, I don't even understand how records are sold anymore. I look at those lists where they say, you know, 75% of the income is coming from streaming and, you know, that none of it's physical media. And I'm like, well, how does this work exactly? And I'm not sure I want to know.
I don't know. I don't, all this phone stuff, I don't, you know, like I said, it was a lady from Indiana called me a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now, about my video.
Ah.
And she said, she got my number off that video for a come on. She said, my little boy can't quit listening to your song.
Good.
And he's 11 years old.
There you are. It's a great song. No, we play that. Yeah, understanding. All that. I wish I knew how it worked anymore, but I'm clueless.
Oh, no, people call me, but, I mean, you know, it still got record labels out there to get you where you're going. Like, my video got almost 65,000 people, but it's doing it on its own. Ain't no advertising. It's just there.
Right, exactly.
You know, and that's pretty good just to be there. Ain't no advertising. See, I want to get my fan club. I want to get all this.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing about all that.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm just trying to work on that call there to get me with a name record label. Somebody got a label, stuff like that. That's what I'm waiting on. So before I say this, I want to tell Adam he needs to get his voice on the radio when you talk to him. I like his voice.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I want to hear God Bless the Child.
Oh, okay.
by Blood, Sweat, and Tears, I believe.
We can do that version of both by a lot
yeah,
of people.
Like yeah.
You know, going back to, goodness, Bessie Smith and before. So, absolutely. All right, God bless the Charles BS&T. I'll do it for you.
Yeah, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. But, yeah, everything going pretty good. And, you know, I was thinking about you real good, and I said, let me call her.
Yeah.
And I know I'm still around me
yes.
and my sister.
Yes.
You know.
Well, it's great to hear from you as always.
Yeah, it's good to hear you too. Like John said, his brain ain't acting right. I'm trying to fix. Sometimes I told him I'd get up and go to the refrigerator and won't. I forgot what I'm coming in.
Oh,
there.
Isn't that the truth?
Feel bad.
Yeah, I can relate to that totally. Yes. All right.
Yeah, how Amanda doing? I don't hear her no more.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I used to hear her on your, you know, yeah. on your talk show all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well,
anyway,
we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you. Take care now.
All right. You too. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
And best to Mona
bye
Lisa.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
I sure will. Okay,
all right.
Bye.
So good deal. All right. Nice that Marlo's checking in. Yeah, it's such a different world today. You know, I mean, everything's upside down. It used to be that record companies fell all over themselves to pay disc jockeys to play the records, even though it wasn't exactly a totally legal process. And today, my God, all they want to do is extract money from you. So, yeah, the old pendulum. Ruth and Gurney, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Riley. Good evening.
What's up?
You know, it's good news on the doorstep. Physician, heal thyself. You, a couple of trivia questions ago on dreams, said that you can't tell time during a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized the reason why is because it's all happening at the same time.
Well, right.
And so, therefore, the dream cannot be documented with that specific time. And there's much more to it than, you know, it repeats itself all over again. And so, therefore, there's always divine intervention
mm-hmm.
to alter something. So if the dream is there and they put the time on it, it can't be altered through divine intervention. So I have lots of divine intervention, good news on the doorstep, things over the years, and this one I wanted to do, even though I don't know whether the barometer for this one is as blessed as some of the other divine intervention ones, but this one's unique, and I love to hear your listeners when they do stories that are good news on the doorstep. So this starts for a carriage ride in Lake Forest. And a long line of people waiting. It's a freebie. Doesn't cost anything like New Orleans. And I had just tried to purchase a lily at a flower shop down the street for Christmas, Father's Day, Easter. It was $17. And that's too much for my under-the-poverty-level income. So I knew the people behind me were on either St. Mary's or St. Patrick's. Lake Forest. So I mentioned it to the fellow who was dripping with money about the lily, and he said nothing. And I said, how would you like it if they transferred your pastor, because I had already found out that he was from St. Mary's. How would you like if they transferred your pastor to St. Joseph's Round Lake and Father Tim to St. Mary's Lake Forest? And he answered me, haughty, we will never part with Father Michael McGovern, and he will never leave us. Well, I don't know, but maybe a year later I went for a high-end concert, and I overheard the name Michael McGovern, new pastor, transferred to St. Raphael the Archangel. So he remained there for a bit and then was transferred to Rockford as a bishop. And Father Tim, who was the pastor at St. Joseph's Round Lake, he was transferred to Holy Trinity and became a bishop within the same year. So two priests became bishops, and out of the two, one became a cardinal. So I mentioned to Susan at St. Mary's, the seminary, just a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago, a month or two ago, I said, what next, a pope? And that's exactly what we got. And I thought that $17 lily traveled two priests became bishops. One of them became a cardinal, and out of the city of Chicago became a pope. So that's a bit of divine intervention. But
right.
Some of my other divine intervention stories are even more miraculous. Oracles and miracles. Good news on the doorstep.
All right.
So
good to hear from you, Ruth.
Good. It's a good night.
All right. Okay,
good
bye. Night. Appreciate it. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Les in Illinois here in moments right here on WGN Radio.
I'm making this song for all the people who at times in their lives feel bad. You know when you feel like even your blues have blues?
If it ain't one thing, it's another. It's a crazy mixed up world, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Life is full of strife, people just aren't nice. Everybody's talking smack, running games on this and that. Racial resentment adds to discontentment. Talk to any guy, he'll tell you taxes are too high. Books, movies are corrupt, suicide is way up. All a sorry lot. Some folks say it's cause of pot. Phony ego trips. Wow, everyone has flipped.
If it ain't one thing,
it's another.
If it ain't one thing,
it's another.
Everybody's shacking up, married folks are packing up, country's going up in smoke, where is Noah with his boat? Blacks marching on D.C., 400 years, still not free, Martin paid all a man could pay, still he's not a holiday.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Richard Dimples Fields. Yeah, that was the other request that Gary and Austin had. If it ain't one thing, it's another. 1962 on Boardwalk. All right, so Les is in Ogden. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up?
Second call for me, Raleigh. I used to listen to DJ named Sam Holman on WLS,
mm-hmm.
early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me anything about him?
He's probably worked at more radio stations than I have, and that's saying a lot. But, yeah, he was with ABC, and he'd been at KQV in Pittsburgh. And when their general manager was being transferred to Chicago, brought along Sam, who was the program director, to be program director at an afternoon at WLS. And they debuted, if you'll remember, it was Mort Crowley, who'd been at WIL in St. Louis. And then it was it wound up being Jim Dunbar. A guy had stayed on from the old format, but he left, and then Jim Dunbar came in, and then Gene Taylor, who had been at Walkie in Milwaukee, and then Sam Holman, who had the Silver Dollar Survey Show, and then, of course, Dick Biondi, the Wild Italian, if you will, and so that was Bob Hale, I think, did overnight. So that was their original format, but this guy, he was PD, the first PD of WABC in New York. And that was interesting as well, same chain. So there's three ABC stations. But he also was national PD for the Star stations, for Don Burden's group. So certainly he got around more than most. And, you know, he was at WPOP for a while in Hartford. And I'm trying to think of course, when he was programming national PD for Star stations, that was Kissin' in Portland and KOR. YL in Omaha and Wife in Annapolis. He was at WOHO in Toledo, which was a good little station there for a while. So, yes, he was everywhere.
You don't have any information that he died in 1986?
He might have. I don't know.
When, you
did,
ever,
did he die in 1986? Is it that long ago?
I think so, but I don't know when or how old he was.
Are you?
I really enjoyed him my early years in high school. You ever listen to Mike Rapchak on WGN?
Yes.
Yeah, he was terrific.
Oh, absolutely. And on CFL as well. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, remember some of the MOR guys on CFL, my favorite morning man was Dan Sorkin. I thought he was tremendous. Mm-hmm. So, there's a lot of stuff. So I'm trying to find out because I did not know that Sam died that early. I don't know why I didn't think it was that early, but I'm trying to find an obit for him.
Okay. I don't... I got into Mike Rapchak rather late, so I used to listen to him on Saturday nights. That was a wonderful show.
Yeah.
And he was at the time when he could talk to the people that made the music, you know. He'd call them out in California and have a conversation and things, and it was really great, just a great era there.
Oh, absolutely. You betcha. Okay, so got a date as far as that goes. Died in Las Vegas, January of 1987. He was only 52.
All right.
So yeah, that did not realize it's been that long. He was one of the guys who was running Bridal Fair, which was a syndicated promotion that Top 40 Radio did in a lot of markets. And for a while, he was selling some of the PAMS packages, doing jingles and stuff like that. But before that, you know, he was involved with a ton of legendary Top 40 radio stations.
You say he died where? Out in
Las Vegas. Las Vegas. Yep.
Okay.
And I'm against the news, so call me again soon. I'd love to talk to you again.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so we'll find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio.
Carroll County's pointed out as kind of square. The biggest thing that happens is the county fair. I guess that's why it seemed like such a big event. What we all call the Carroll County accident. The wreck was on the highway just inside the line. Walter Browning lost his life and for a time. It seemed that Mary Ellen Jones would surely die. But she lived long enough for her to testify. Walter Browning was a happy married man, and he wore a golden wedding ring upon his hand. But it was gone, nobody knew just where it went. He lost it in the Carroll County accident. Mary Ellen testified he flagged her down. Said he was sick and could she drive him into town. No one even doubted what she said was true. Cause she was well
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, it's a 2 minute and 30 second soap opera. It's set to music. Country music at its finest. Porter Wagoner, who would have turned 98 this week. Yeah, died in 2007 at 80 years old, lung cancer. But that was written by Bob Ferguson. And for the most part, as much as anybody, he was responsible for Nashville becoming Music City, USA. Yeah, absolutely. And he wrote that. He also wrote Wings of a Dove, but more to the point was just an ardent supporter of Nashville and no longer with us. But yeah, if it doesn't get more country than Carroll County accident, I give up. When he moved to Nashville, he was managing Furlan Husky, so I probably don't need to say any more. All right, so yeah, I produced Dolly, of course, too, and everybody else. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Fran is in Austin. And Fran, got to find the magic twanger here. It was here before. I don't know. Well, here we go. Don't tell me it needs batteries. Let's hope not. All right, maybe it does. I don't know. But, yeah, come on. Come on, you can do it. Yeah, Come on. Maybe not. Maybe I do need to get in some batteries. Yeah, we'll be talking to Fran here in just moments, I'm sure of it, or not. How could this happen now? All right, so let's see here. Let's try again. Will this help? I don't know. Usually technology doesn't fail me that quite this badly, but it has now, and unfortunately it's not a touch screen, so I'm stuck with the twanger. Which, could it possibly need another battery? Well, this is a hell of a time for it to need a battery. I'll tell you what, it was working moments ago. Yeah, maybe hitting it against the wall there will help, or not. All right, I'll go get the twang or another battery. I can't believe it. We'll see if we can go from there. In the meantime, it gives me an excuse to find another one of your requests. So let me see if I can find the Blood, Sweat, and Tears, God Bless the Child for Marlo, who called earlier. We can put up with that. Let's see. And like I say, everybody and their brother did that. Do I have God Bless the Child on this? No, here. Oh, I don't think it is. You think it is? Okay, John thinks it is. All right, so let's while we're at it. No, I was right. It's not. It is one double, not two triples. One double. Here. All right, so he will get me a double and bring it back, and we'll see. That's just unbelievable. But you know, why should I be surprised about this or anything? So yeah, I was going to play God Bless the Child, but I'm not sure it's on this, at least not that version. We got it by a lot of people, including probably Frankie Lane, but that's not what he wants to hear. So we'll find something else as I trundle on to John brings another battery, and we'll see if this will, in fact, work, because there is no shortage of batteries at this particular location, but maybe finding one that actually will do the job might be a little harder than not. So let's see what's going on with this. All right. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Maybe it's not the battery. All right. So I'll go figure out what this is. And in the meantime, I guess you'll hear God Bless the Child by somebody else. I'm sorry about that. But no, we're not going to play it by Shania Twain. I have standards as far as that goes. So it would have been Joe Jones' birthday this week. So I'll just play the original California Sun, which you probably never know he did. But this was the original version of it.
Gonna go back out on the coast, where the California girls are really the most. They walk that walk, they talk that talk, they twist like this, they shimmy, don't you hear me? Yes, they're out there having fun in the warm California sun. The girls are frisky in the old Frisco. A pretty little miss wherever you go. They walk that walk. They talk that talk. They twist like this. They shimmy, don't you hear me? Yes, they're out there having fun in the warm California sun.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Like I say, that's the original, indeed, Joe Jones. All right, so when all else fails, just get something wired. All right, yeah, right. Other than me, that is. But now, of course, I'm falling off the chair. Just what I need. All right, so with our wired mouse, we will talk to Fran in Austin. So, Fran, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Something tells me this is not your night.
It really is. You know, I tell you what, and this thing was working moments ago. Now I've tried two batteries, and I've actually tried to connect it, disconnect it, all that, and just nothing. So I have this old wired mouse, and of course, the way I am and the way it is, I kind of have to hold it with two hands.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of makes it hard to write things down or
Of that, yes.
But I like that version of that that song. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, that's the first one. Did nothing, of course, like everything else. But yeah.
Yeah, and of course it's the much better version. I actually like that song, which I didn't like the other.
Right. No, it came out in 1961 on Roulette.
Oh.
And Henry Glover was working for Roulette at the time, and he wrote it.
Okay.
Henry had been working at King for Sid Nathan and all that, kind of an R&B mainstay. And he was working for Moish Levy at the time and wrote California Sun, and they put it out, and it did absolutely nothing.
Oh, that's too bad. That's a great version.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to know what you know, if anything, about lucid dreaming.
Well, I know about it, not from first hand, that's for sure, because I'm absolutely useless about this stuff. But this is when you're aware that you're dreaming while you're in the dream state, which allows you to control the dream's narrative. Now, it's said that 55% of people worldwide have a lucid dream abilities. I've never known anybody personally myself. So, you know, I don't know about you, but they say it's a trainable cognitive skill, but it doesn't seem so to me. It falls on the continuum of dream states, if you will. And it was a Dutch guy in like 1913 who coined the phrase and of dreamers being aware they're dreaming. And then you've had a number of other people, including the guy who heads the department at Stanford University. He has a Lucidity Institute there and all that. So, yeah. And there have been studies since then by many people. But apparently this predates all that stuff and goes back to yoga nidra in the Hindu religion and Tibetan Buddhist dream yoga and all that kind of stuff. But what interests you about this?
Well, I have a lot of problem with nightmares.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've read different places how... And there are some times when I'm dreaming and I'm having a nightmare, and there's part of me that says, this is a nightmare,
really?
You're going to wake up.
Wow.
But it doesn't happen often enough, and I don't seem to have, be able to get any control of it. And it's getting worse. I don't know whether it's because of my heightened anxiety issues or, what the deal is with that. But in fact, there have been some times when I've woken up from a bad dream and part of me thinks I'm still in it and Gary has to kind of, you're home, you're safe, I'm here, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because part of me is here and part of me is still in the dream.
Right.
The first time it happened to me, it was scary. I thought, my God, this must be what, people who are, have thing. I mean, I know I'm not schizophrenic or anything like that, but,
you figure you're starting to have a weaker grasp on reality.
Yeah, well, it's like, this must be, because, they think things that aren't really happening and things like that. And I thought, oh, my God, this must be what it would be like. I would hate to be in that position. But, usually it's within a couple of minutes that I come out of it. And that doesn't happen all the time. And it seems to happen especially when I don't get enough sleep. And, then... you know, then I'll get some sleep. And when I do, I think it's because I haven't had enough REM sleep. You know, that kind of thing. So I've heard that there's a way, you know, to control your dreams through lucid dreaming. And I wish I could do that because, you know, sometimes it's just, sometimes it'll mess with my whole, you know, morning or something, you know, so like, cause I keep having, you know, thoughts of the dream. Sometimes I don't know what it was. Gary said that I will, you know, wake him up yelling or, right. You know, sometimes it's funny because I've woken him up saying some pretty hilarious things, but.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet that's true.
He said one night, he said, I don't know who you were mad at. I hope it's not me, but oh my God, I heard more creative swearing than.
Oh, like, man.
Okay.
Well, there are so many.
I don't know who you were mad at.
Exactly. There are so many things online that have step by steps, and there's so many that you've got to be like 100 steps when they say 5 easy steps, right? But the one that I thought was the weirdest is the wake initiated lucid dream, where you set an alarm 3 to 4 hours, I guess earlier than you usually wake up, or when the alarm goes off, keep your eyes open and relax, empty your mind. If thoughts pass through your mind, acknowledge it, but don't do anything. You'll eventually enter the hypnagogic state where you might see colors and lights. And once you enter sleep paralysis, do not panic, stay calm, and you'll get into this state. Well, come on. All right. And then there's a lot of this where you can try different things, whether it's, you know, repeating phrases or affirmations or whatever, or, you know, believe me. Books are countless on this, and you can probably just do a web search and see all of this, and I can tell you for sure that none of it's ever worked for me. I also can tell you for sure I haven't really tried very hard.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm sometimes, sleep is, I agree with you, sleep is sacred.
Yes.
Not only that, with health problems, the more sleep I can get, the more pain I have, the less pain I have.
Yes, 100% true. Absolutely.
So, you know, it's my escape, but then if I go into my, you know, sleep and then I have nightmares, that's,
No, that's not good at all. No, I...
Yeah.
I get that completely, but, you know, what I wonder about, maybe you have this as well. Oh, John says I better shut up. I'll be back to ask you the question after this, coming up on WGN
okay.
Radio.
All right.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. The Tams, 1968 on ABC. Be young, be foolish, be happy. Actually, Floyd Ashton had left the group before that, but Floyd was an early Tams member, and he's still with us, 92 years old today, born in 1933 in Atlanta. As far as everybody else, I think unless Robert Lee Smith is still alive, which he might be. Everyone else is gone. Of course, Joe Pope, that remarkable voice, died in 1996, so it's been a while. He was 62 at the time. All right, we're talking to Fran about lucid dreaming. I was about to ask you something, Fran, and now, of course, I have absolutely no idea what it might have been, but I did find my my favorite method as far as what's online for lucid dreaming. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. It says, of course they all say this, it's the quickest and easiest way to have a lucid dream. Wake yourself up about 5 hours after sleeping when you're so tired you could literally drift off again. Before you fall back to sleep, take 20 to 30 seconds to move your index finger and middle finger up and down opposite each other like typing or playing the piano. Don't count off the seconds, just estimate. After the 30-ish seconds have gone by, do a reality check. This only works if you're extremely tired. Most of the time when I try it, I fall back to sleep and forget to do the technique. I'm so tired. When I remember to do it, it actually works pretty consistently. You go back to sleep and instantly become lucid. Lucid dreaming is a lot more than flying around and tasting fire. It's actually barely scratching the surface. You can communicate with your subconscious. And good luck on any of that, but there you go.
Okay. I think if I set an alarm and wake up in 5 hours, I will probably, unfortunately, stay awake.
Oh, that's no good at all. No. Oh,
that's
not worth
it. Because a lot of times, because I'll sleep in the afternoon, so I only get about 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night.
I know what I was going to ask you. In your dreams, do you have things that recur? Like my buddy Carol has an entire closet full of clothes. It's always the same clothes, but they're different. They're in dreams. She doesn't have them in reality, just she has this wardrobe in dreams. Now, for me, I have apartments. Absolutely. Can tell you exactly where they are. They're not on any city I've heard of, but I can actually get there. The roads don't change and all that, but they're in a number of dreams. So do you have anything like that that comes up?
I have a lot of kind of recurring themes, and, you know, I can figure that out. I've been in places that I've never been in. And there was one dream where I've had it several times. I'm on a stage and I'm speaking, I'm doing a speech, and it's all in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
And I knew a little bit of Spanish when I was a child. And then, of course, before I went to school, they made me stop using
right.
it. You know, speak English, speak English.
Yeah,
but,
same deal.
But in this dream, I'm an adult and I'm speaking Spanish. And it's happened, you know, more than once. But ordinarily, I mean, there are recurring themes to a lot of my dreams. But, you know, and I can kind of figure out why I'm having them, but that doesn't stop me from having them.
Right, of course not.
You know, so that's, it's, you know, and it's usually things that I'm, like I have this one dream, for example, where I'm walking somewhere and I'm lost and I keep asking people for help and I keep saying, you know, can you tell me where such and such is? And they just keep talking or walking or doing whatever they're doing and they don't notice me at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I'm not even talking to them. I'm not even there. And I can kind of figure out where that comes from. That's, you know, you don't need to be a psychiatrist to figure that
right.
one out.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, but, and some of my dreams are very science fiction-y, futuristic, you know, just horrible things. And, you know, I'm, you know, I want to control it. I need, you know, to sleep
right
peacefully and you know, all of that. And so, and I have had dreams that have happened. So, you know, that's kind of interesting. Like I had a dream about a concert that I was going to go to with some friends. And there was a car accident, and I didn't, so I, you know, I just thought, oh, this is stupid, you know, it was just a dream, you know, but I didn't go to the concert, and it turned out there was a traffic accident, and the person who was sitting where I ordinarily sit, you know, in the car with that particular group of friends, got hurt pretty badly.
Wow.
And the thing I, you know, that I was thinking about was that, you know, she was quite a bit smaller than me, and I might have been hurt worse because I might not have been able to be thrown clear from the car.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's, you know, but I have had dreams that have happened that are much less dramatic than that. But, you know, sometimes when I have these nightmares, I think, oh, is this going to happen?
Right. Well, exactly.
No, come on. It was just one of your dumb dreams again, you know. But I think it's triggered by... Well, I've had that. My mother said that she thinks I had night terrors, or she didn't know what they were at the time, but she said that, well, I always had my days and nights mixed up, even when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
But she said that I would just wake up screaming, and very little that she could do, you know, would console me. And so I think it's just something that's just part of my makeup. Another thing I was wondering about dreaming, I wonder, because sometimes I've had dreams and I think, I really believe that it's some kind of dream of a past life thing.
Right.
And I've also dreamed that I've been in places that I've never been, but they seem so familiar. And sometimes I think, you know, I wonder if I'm dreaming about something that happened in a past life.
Right. It's all possible. And, of course, you know, the hard thing to grok, and I don't know how to wrap my head around this, but is, of course, time is an artificial construct. We have it here on the Earth plane, but in reality, time doesn't exist. So everything's happening simultaneously. And so past lives are as present as current lives, and that's real hard to wrap yourself around.
Yeah, I've thought of that myself, and that like there might be, you know, like a whole bunch of friends in different times.
Yeah, you don't know,
living out, you know, at the same time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it is hard to get your head around, but it's fascinating. And in dreams, of course, I've had dreams that they seem like they're lasting for hours. It seems like this dream is going on forever, and I just can't. You know, and then I'll find out I've been sleeping for 5 minutes.
Right.
You know?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And it's been, you know, I've been wearing a device that measures my sleep for a while now, and I'm stunned with how little sleep I get. I mean, I think I'm getting a lot of sleep, but, you know, I'll have most nights where I get like 2 minutes of deep sleep, and that's it. You know, REM sleep, you know, maybe it's 15 minutes of REM sleep. It's all just light sleep. And that was a shock to me as well.
Have you ever been, like, there's a lot of times when I'll be sleeping, but I'll think I'm awake, I'm reading, and the book makes sense, and Gary says, oh, no, you were sleeping, I heard the snoring. I'm like, really?
Well, with that...
I was awake.
With that in mind, you may be able to get to lucid dreaming. When you're in that state, you might be able to direct it.
Now, that would be interesting.
Because it sounds like you could do that. Yeah, give that a go next time.
Yeah. I know I've heard everything from drink a glass of water before
please.
You go to sleep. And, you know, it's like, okay, give me a break.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I think you may be onto something there, though, because if you feel like, no, I'm awake, and, you know, you're sort of dreaming on, and you're awake, but here's Gary saying, oh, no, you're snoring, you may be in a position to actually get into that lucid mode.
Although usually when I'm in that mode, I don't think I'm sleeping. I think I'm still reading, and then
well,
when I go back,
this
it's
is great. This is great.
Because when I go back and read part of the same book.
Right.
Sometimes it'll be, wait a minute, okay, that wasn't what I just said.
Well, exactly. No, I think you're doing it and don't know you're doing it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
I'll give that some thought.
Absolutely. Yeah. Next time that happens, try and direct it. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I can't...
Usually when that happens, I'm not having a nightmare, but...
Right, well,
know,
I understand
usually,
that, but, you know,
yeah,
let's start with the easy things.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Move on to the horrors after that. Oh, yeah. I'm no stranger to the horrors. Trust me. You know, it's like, wait a minute. If I'm only getting 15 minutes of REM sleep, how did I have that many bad dreams? Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. There wasn't time for that much. Exactly.
Oh, and another thing I forgot I wanted to say before I hang up is great to hear from Marlo. And if he's got a fan club, I want to be in it.
All right. All right.
I love Marlo. And also, I've got one request. I know James will like this because it's my favorite Patsy Cline song, and I never hear it, and that's Walking After Midnight.
Oh, I like that too. And I don't think you hear it much because it's also not on a lot of those compilations. So who knows?
I had the 45 at one time. I can't remember was on the flip, but I had the 45.
Yeah, absolutely. But for whatever reason, it is not on the compilations, and so a lot of people don't have it, but I do. So
all right.
Yeah, we'll play you Walking After Midnight.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. So there you have it. Oh, we're going to get to Jimmy P. And I bet she's got a six-pack of requests. Jim in Richmond, Eduardo in Tampa. Chris is in Greenwood. Mike is on the south side. Oh, he's going to tell us about lucid dreaming. Well, that'll be interesting. All that. But I think Fran might be doing it and not even knowing it. Guess it's not too lucid then. But she's on to something, I do believe. All right. So we've had to retire the last Magic Twanger completely and are now dealing with a substandard model. But it works, so that's all we need on WGN Radio.
I go out walking after midnight.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there she is, Patsy Cline, Walking After Midnight, 1957 on Decca. And it was a B-side. The A-side was A Poor Man's Roses or A Rich Man's Gold. Walking After Midnight was probably better. Well, definitely better as far as I have spoken. All right, so John said, well, on top of everything else, you know it's going to be a good conversation when it starts that way. People are saying they're getting hung up on. I don't know what's with the phone system, but if you're getting hung up on callback, Jimmy P. on the South Side, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Riley, how are you doing?
I don't know.
You don't know. Yeah. That makes two of us. Mm. They're not the reason I called, but to help Fran. I know. I presume she's on medication. A lot of side effects of medication are crazy dreams.
Oh, yeah.
So if she wants to check with her, you know, if she wants to pursue it, because that happened to me. I was having all kinds of crazy dreams, and doctor changed my medication.
Wow.
But the other thing I called, that song, if anyone thinks it's another.
Yeah.
Didn't the group sing that song?
No, that's Richard Dimples Fields.
He's the only one that sang it?
Yes, he wrote it.
God, I got, if it ain't one thing, it's, I got a group.
I wonder who that would be.
Yeah, if you don't know, you know.
Yeah, no, I only know his version from 1982. I remember the first time I heard it, I thought it was an old woman.
And I want to thank you for a couple weeks ago. You played my six-pack in the last song, Shambhala.
Yeah.
You didn't know. It was, the group was Sheriff and the Ravels.
Well, that's what we played.
No, you played a song. I don't know who it was, some African.
Oh, I didn't play Sheriff and the Ravels? I thought I did.
No, you didn't. No.
All right. Well, should we add that to the next six-pack?
Nah, don't. All right. I got another one. I got so many here.
Okay.
I'm ready if you are.
I am ready.
All right. White port and lemon juice.
IWPLJ, okay.
And let's see. I'll Be Forever Loving You by the El Dorados.
Okay, sure.
Each Night by Rochelle and the Candles.
Okay.
Hey Girl by Freddie Scott.
Uh-huh.
Let me see. I had one by the the Jive Five. You're My Rain by the Jive Five.
Rain. Okay. I don't know if I know that. I'm going to look for that.
Or if you don't have that, You're My Only Love. You're My Only.
Okay.
You're My Only Love. Okay. How about I Love You by the Volumes?
Ah, very nice.
And how many is that? Five?
Six. No, that's six. We got our six. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that Rain by the Jive Five.
I want to find that.
It's a pretty good song. And
right. So,
like
it, was it the flip side of She's My Girl? Was it on Beltone?
It could be, yeah.
Yeah, I'll bet you it's the flip side of She's My Girl.
So.
Yeah.
And anyhow, I had to have Frank. You know, I was getting all kinds of dreams. You know, I'm a retired Chicago copper. I was getting dreams. I was going on a job. I parked the car in the front of the house. And then when I come out, I forgot where I parked the car.
Oh,
I'm looking all over the neighborhood. I'm thinking, oh, my God.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, and anyhow, it might help her.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Good idea. All right. Thanks for calling.
And thanks for playing the song.
Oh, my pleasure. All right. So, yes, we will definitely get that on, and we'll get it on maybe right after the news. Hard to tell right here on WGN Radio.
Drop. Drip. Drop.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is. It's a flip side. Definitely on Beltone 1963 and the Jive 5. It was. It was Feldman, Goddard, or Goldstein who wrote that. Same guys who did My Boyfriend's Back for the Angels and much more. But it's the flip side of She's My Girl, and that's Rain. So I'm glad that Jimmy P requested that. All right, so 888-876-5593. Let's see what... what, let's see, Jim in, oh, here we go. Got to use this other magic twanger now, the inferior magic twanger. All right, Jim in Richmond, welcome back to WGN Radio.
After you were talking about all these dreams, I would love to talk about that. But my other question was, where are all the air marshals? How can a guy take a skateboard and sit at his seat and then use it against the passengers? I don't understand. But he can't take 3 ounces of liquid to his seat. You
know? Well, there are air marshals on every flight.
There still are air marshals?
Well, there are some, yeah, absolutely there are, you know, as far as that goes. So there are 3,000 people who are air marshals.
Well, I'm glad because...
But they're not possibly on every flight. Now, I had heard that domestic flights carried at least one, sometimes two air marshals, but I don't think they are on every flight, because the numbers just isn't high enough. The bottom line is we don't know for sure. Obviously, they keep this information secret for all sorts of reasons. So the worst I've heard is some people say only 5% of U.S. domestic flights have air marshals. I don't know if that's true or not.
Right, but we can send troops into Washington, D.C., but we can't put them on the planes.
Well,
but I don't want to talk about that anymore. I have finally found someone that would talk to me about my dreams.
All right.
I have been troubled with these dreams since I was in grade school.
Uh-huh.
And recently, I go to sleep, and all of a sudden, I'm driving my route in the city of Chicago, and I see, I see in color. So I'm seeing all these streets and everything, and I go, okay, this is Lincoln Avenue. I should turn right here. And I turn right here, and I can't get to where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get so frustrated that I go, okay, that's it. And then I say, I'm getting up. So I get up, I walk around, I go to bed, and I go, good, it's all over with. And I go back to sleep, and I'm back where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so frustrating, and I haven't been able to talk to anybody about it. And then it brings back memories when I was in grade school. And I'm sitting in the classroom, I'm dreaming, and I'm looking around and everything and hearing everything that's going on in the class and the questions and everything. And then I wake up the next day, go to school, and exactly everything that happened in my dream is happening in the classroom.
That's interesting.
And then, the questions that she asks and everything, and I answer, I go, damn, that happened last night, And that's happened several times.
Wow.
And then there's other times where I'm dreaming when I was at the same age, and all of a sudden I can jump up in the sky and just hover for a while, and then, when we're doing something, and I can, and it seems that I can jump up and sit there for like 2 or 3 seconds and then come back down and catch the ball or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's been freaking me out for years. And I just didn't know who to talk to about this.
Well,
again,
a lot of this is theory. What we really actually know for fact is very limited on any of these subjects. But there's a number of people who engage in dream analysis, and it can be looked at from the spiritual perspective or the psychological perspective. But yeah, they exist. A lot of people talking about it.
Right. And then this last one from a few days ago, I'm in this area where there's like historic buildings, and I'm walking around and I see this one building, and then I don't care about this building, and I walk away and there's another building.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a area where you can, like a paved, it's all historic paving.
Yeah.
And everything, and I'm standing there and I'm going, oh, this looks nice. And I, start walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, wait a minute, I don't want to be here. And I wake up, go to the restroom, and I come back, and I'm back to the same thing, and I don't want to do this.
Let me ask you something. When you're saying, I don't want to be here, are you saying that in your dream?
I'm saying that when I'm going to the restroom.
Oh, okay.
And then
so,
I come back, and I'm back in the dream again. I want to go to sleep, you know?
Right, right. You want another dream or no dream, yeah.
Right. And this has been going on for several years, so...
Well, I love the bit about that you dream something and it happened the next day. Too bad those weren't the lottery numbers.
Yeah, but this is, you know, this is back in the early 60s.
Yeah, but... Yeah, but that's a talent.
It freaked me out.
Yeah.
And there was all other stories that I could see what's going on. Like, in my dreams, I could run up to a... Remember the old mail collection boxes?
Of course.
Yeah, I could run up to the mail collection boxes and then put my hands on the top and then flip right over in one jump. And then... When I did it in reality, I slammed into the side of it.
Of course you would. Yes, exactly.
Right. So I'm glad someone brought up those dreams.
Yeah.
They've been freaking me out for years.
Well, keep listening. Maybe somebody will have an answer that makes sense to you.
And I thank you.
All right.
And have a wonderful weekend.
You
and
too.
I hope you and John... get to relax.
Oh, I wish.
I know you're moving.
Right, and this is the big weekend because we have a time crunch where we really have to be out of there by next Wednesday. And so,
right. Oh,
man, we've been basically working around the clock. This weekend's going to be murder. But the good news is that, you know, hopefully by the end of next week, we will be out of there. So we'll see.
Right. And, you know, if I can... fly down there and help you.
Yep, I do. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too. Yeah, the only thing we need is somebody who can create more space. All right, but that's not going to happen. That's a pretty fine... We got three locations, but still, there's a limited number of spaces at all of them. But, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of boxes. And you know, John says, you think you live long enough to ever unpack all these? I don't know. So it absolutely is like that. But we'll get Mike on the south side here who knows something about lucid dreaming. So he says, so Mike, welcome to WGN Radio. What you know? Mike, be with us, Mike. We lost Mike. All right. Well, maybe he's dreaming. All right. If you want to call back, and I hope you will, we'll hear more about it. In the meantime, we've got Mary at Midway. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, Riley, I am a person who had lucid dreams. I never planned it. This was so long ago. I was probably in my 20s. And I'm the S word now, and I don't mean 60.
Yeah.
So I'm up there. But it was just so different. I don't even know if they had a name for them back then, but I remember hearing, I'm like, oh, that's what that was. Because, you know, and you would think, oh, no, that's daydreaming. No, this was IB. And then I'd construct the dream. And you are so right. It's almost where... your conscience is directing your subconscious, and you better believe in every one of these dreams. I was the princess. I was the best dancer.
Ah.
Of course. Cecil B. DeMille had nothing on these dreams that I would have that I must have put together.
This is
but
great.
Now I'm just, now I'm just back to, like that guy said, all my dreams now are like, I can't find my car. I can't find the door.
Yeah.
I miss those fun dreams. But anyway, now you can say you know somebody who had lucid dreams.
Yes, and you're the first that I know for sure. But yeah, as far as not finding the keys or the car, I think about this often, that if I could have all the time I waste trying to find the keys, the laptop, the purse, whatever it is, I would have...
glasses.
Oh, well, of course, that's not quite as big for me, because if I don't have glasses on, I can't walk across the room. So that's that becomes...
Yeah, trying to find your glasses when you can't see.
Oh, no.
That's
right. But I mean, I can't see to the point of I'll just walk right into the wall. It's all just absolutely opaque. That one I don't have to worry about. But there are times when I first wake up where they've been misplaced and I have to say to John, where are the glasses? Because I won't be able to get out of bed.
I didn't have that when I was younger. I don't know. Now it's like, you're right, I'm almost in tears.
Yeah.
With how much time I spend
looking for stuff. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean...
And now my dreams haunt me with it, too.
Right. We get distracted along the way, so we start doing one thing, and by the time we're across the room, we're doing six other things, and the first thing isn't getting done. So, yes.
Well, one thing with my glasses, I didn't have to take them on and off when I was younger. I just had them on. But now, oh, I got to take them off for reading. I got to put them back on for this. So, of course, I'm going to lose them more often.
Oh, that's did you have cataract surgery or anything like that?
I'm supposed to, but I don't know. I have, you know, that saying, the more time you have, the less you get done.
Yes.
It must be true for me because I have nothing but time and I can't seem to get it scheduled.
Yeah, well.
I'm waiting till I get the cloudiness. I don't have cloudiness, so I figure.
And that's fine. Yeah, you know, timetable is absolutely yours. You don't have to do it till you feel like you need to do it. So sure.
Yep,
and if you're very, very nearsighted, the thing you're going to lose when you do the cataract surgery is that amazing close-up vision. But it depends how very nearsighted you are. But if
I'm nearsighted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you're nearsighted, if you're in double powers, you know, if you're like a minus 10 or something like that, then you know when your glasses are not on, it's like magnification when you look at something very close. Well, you lose that with
to be young again.
Oh, I know.
I know.
Although, you know, would you really want to be young these days? Not me.
Oh, exactly. I know. I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, this is good timing.
Well, absolutely.
They don't even know what they're missing.
Right, right.
Yeah, I grew up in the 50s. That's a fantasy I have. That's not even a lucid dream. That's just daydreaming about the 50s.
Oh, I miss them tremendously. I loved the
50s. One.
Yeah, absolutely.
And me both.
And, you know, I have that discussion all the time, considering there's a lot of things now, you know, for work-wise and all, that because of computerization and digital, that makes it much easier to do certain things. And I go back and forth of, would I be willing to lose all of those advantages to go back to good old AT&T and long distance calls? And I'm kind of on the fence. Probably, yeah, which is horrible to admit.
Well, when I think of the 50s, I think that was a time when everybody did their best. I mean, they were trying to impress people with products and so on. Now it's how can we jip everybody?
Right, how can we make it cheaper? Yeah. And I'm sure that was in the back of their mind then. But we were in that post-World War II where, you know, it was all bigger and better and one new thing after another. It was just great.
Sure.
Other than
like
the
it.
Colors they chose, too much on that aqua. You know, but other than that,
you're right.
Yeah, or that Danish modern furniture we all had to have. The damn stuff was orange. It was orange or it was aqua. What were we thinking? You know, so.
Oh, and then pink and green bathroom.
Oh,
I remember that.
I was telling John, or that green with that, like it's a darker red color that they had in the bathrooms. I actually had monogram towels with that on it. Just hideous. But yes, the
I
pink and the blue.
I think it's making a comeback.
Oh, God help us. Yeah, but why should I be surprised? But, you know, all that said, I think I'd go back in a heartbeat to that.
Yeah. Well, sweet dreams, Raleigh.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, no, but again, according to these sleep studies, I'm not dreaming about anything because I'm not getting any REM sleep or any deep sleep or I don't know. I guess I snooze. That's what it must be. Or like John says, maybe the monitors are wrong. And I'll go with that. That's a high probability. We'll get to Eduardo. We'll get to Chris. And hopefully you two before the night's over on WGN Radio.
Not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, and Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own will. That's got his own. And the strong seem to get more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grave.
may have, and Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own.
WGN Radio. I'm that's Raleigh James. And that, of course, own. Blood, Sweat, and Tears, David Clayton Thomas, and from the album Blood, Sweat, and Tears on Columbia, 1969. And God Bless the Child, that originally, of course, Billie Holiday in 1941. Shortly thereafter, when I say that, it was like the second or third release after that, though it was about 8 years. Frankie Lane had it out in the late 40s. And Larry Darnell, yeah, I'll Get Along Somehow, about 1950. And there's over 700 versions of this song by different people, so I'm not going to give you a whole list. But, of course, for most top 40 listeners, you would remember that. Though obviously on Lady Sings the Blues, Diana Ross did a nice job of playing the role of Billie Holiday and singing that. So that was for Marlo in Tennessee, yeah, in Jackson. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. Waning moments. Oh, my God, I've only got a couple minutes left. Now, hopefully we'll get to everybody, but if not, that's all we have next week. All right, so Eduardo in Tampa, what's up?
Hey, Raleigh, I'll make it quick here. So Mom's got the Vital Connect. Remember, she's...
Yes, I do. So she it is a Zio, Z-I-O.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that, but it's Vital Connect on the box. I'm
okay.
looking at it, and it's
all right.
Like the patches are in the figure eight.
Okay.
The patches.
All right.
Yeah, so every Wednesday she's got to switch them at 10 a.m.
Okay.
For 28 days.
All right.
And then she's going to get an echocardiogram in December.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. I mean, for now it's fine, but...
Yeah, you'll get some information.
Hey, yeah, next week... we're going to talk about AI burning up a lot of electricity and water.
Oh, it is. Yes, absolutely. Water,
it
because
is a
you,
big story.
Yeah. And, you know, Phoenix is the fourth heaviest AI city as far as data centers. And, and
cool.
You know, you talk about a water shortage, not to mention, you know, the cost of power here. So, yes. And people say, well, why would it be water? Well, it's water because you got to keep those centers very cool. And so that's where the water comes in, but power as well. All that computer stuff, it just eats power. Sure, it does.
And that's going to drive up electricity bills up, right?
Well, for them, it will. You know, I don't think that the public utilities commissions in various states are going to raise the rates for the general populace. But you know, we'll see. And then that depends on you know, what power company is serving the jurisdiction where the data center is and where they're getting their power. You know, because that can change too. You know, if somebody's got a system that's real power rich and they got a couple of nuclear plants and all that, they're riding high. On the other hand, we can go all the way down to geothermal. So let's talk about it next week.
Yeah, definitely. Okay
thanks. Appreciate
it. Weekend.
Oh, man. And on that, oh, I'm so sorry to Naoto and to Chris. We didn't get there. But that's why next week, of course, we'll start with Monday Night Trivia. Until then, tomorrow night's a replay of Monday Night Trivia, so enjoy it. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. John for screening your calls, but above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. Looking forward to talking to you live on Monday. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.